I don't know a whole lot for my very few years of life here on earth, but one thing that I do know is that the more I pray, the more I read the scriptures, the more I practice the faith, the more I do anything that draws me closer to the Lord, the more I realize that we really don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the Lord. We really don't know what we talk about when we go to prayer. St. Paul says that in the New Testament. We don't know how to pray. We know not how we ought to pray. We don't even know how to pray. We don't know how to approach the Lord. So if you find yourself thinking, yeah, that's me, absolutely. I don't know how to pray. I've been trying for years. You're in good company. And I think part of the reason is because we don't think in the terms of God. We don't think the same way that God thinks. That is very apparent. We hear in the first reading that we're trying to find a new king of Israel. God has promised the right king. He has one set out. He goes through seven sons, and none of them are the ones that the Lord has chosen. If you read the whole thing, we go through all of them, all their different names, and the Lord has rejected this one. The Lord has rejected that one, the prophet says. Until there's the youngest one, David. He says he's out tending the sheep. He's the youngest one. He's the shepherd. He's the one least fit for this. What are you talking about? And he's the one that the Lord chooses to be king, to be leader, to be the one who holds the authority and the power. Who would think that David would become king? Man does not think in the ways of God. That's clear in Scripture. Then we come to this gospel passage, this very long and lengthy, detailed gospel passage. And we hear about this story of the man who was born blind, and he suddenly becomes able to see because this random guy named Jesus spits in the ground, smears it around, wipes it into his eyes, and then says, go wash your eyes in the pool, and then you'll be able to see. If I were to go out onto campus, spit in the dirt, rub it on somebody's face, and says, go wash and you'll be able to see clearly, I would get decked in the nose. That is insane. We don't think in the ways of God. The question comes up every year when we hear this gospel passage, Father, why did Jesus have to spit in the dirt? Like, I don't know. Ask him. But you know, the ironic part about that, and I just learned this the other day, is that the rabbis in the first century taught that when the Messiah came, when the Messiah finally showed up as was promised, even his spittle, even the spit of his mouth, his saliva, would have healing properties. Every ounce of who he was would heal, would conquer, would bring newness and life. And so you think about that. Well, if the rabbis are teaching that, the Pharisees know that, then why do they doubt that this is the Lord? Why do they doubt? Again, because we don't think in the ways of God. We find ourselves right in the middle of the Lenten season. We're halfway to Easter, 3 weeks from now already. And things start to change just a little bit. We hear in the very first word of Mass, the very first word, the entrance antiphon, rejoice, Jerusalem, and all you who love her. Rejoice. Why? Because we're almost there. Keep going. Keep dedicating yourself to the Lord. Keep fasting from whatever it is you're fasting from. Keep reading whatever devotionals or practicing whatever prayers or penances that you took on for Lent. Keep going. The church gives us a little bit of a reprieve today to take a little bit of a break and to know that everything that we have done has been for our benefit. Everything that we have done has built us up in a very particular way to know the heart of Christ so that we can begin to see things clearly. We don't think in the way that God thinks, and we don't see in the way that God sees. And there's so much that could be said about the blindness and then coming to see things. But if you go back to the second reading in St. Paul's letter, he talks about the light. The light. Just like we did last Sunday, our catechumens will come forward, those who will be baptized in 3 weeks at the Easter Vigil. And we'll pray with them, we'll pray for them that this awareness of sin, not to shame them and say, oh, you're a bunch of terrible sinners, but this awareness of sin can be heavy upon them so that they can see, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. They can see that the Lord is the one who frees them. We've all been through that, whether we remember it or not. We've been through that process of being freed and being able to see, being healed, being brought to a newness of life. Because the light desires to dwell within you. The light's name is Jesus, of course. There are many different things that Jesus takes on. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the vine, you're the branches, I'm the gate to where it all come to heaven. But he says in the gospel today, I'm the light of the world. I came into the world to share light. And St. Paul says that light came to dispel the darkness, obviously. And what is that darkness but our sin? What is the darkness but the imperfections that pull us away from the Lord? The light has to be within us. There can't be any healing. There can't be any newness. There can't be any clarity of sight in the midst of our blindness unless we allow the light to dwell within us. One of the beautiful things about being Catholic, one of the many, many, many beautiful things about being Catholic, is that the sacraments are very visceral. They're very physical. We need physical reminders of what is actually happening when our souls are saved. In the baptismal rite, if you've ever been to a baptism, and especially if you come to the Easter Vigil, which please come to the Easter Vigil, it's the most beautiful and festive mass of the entire year. But each person who is baptized is handed a brand new candle, which is lit from the brand new Easter candle, the brand new flame which is blessed, a sign of the risen Christ. When we walk into the totally pitch black dark church with that one single light, the darkness is dispelled. And that light travels through the church to each person's candle. And the newly baptized receive their own candle with that same light of the risen Christ. And when the priest or the deacon, whoever does the baptism, hands that lit candle to the godparents, we say, parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you. This light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly. So that when the Lord comes, your lamp will be trimmed, the lamp will be burning brightly, and you will go to meet him in his heavenly courts. The light must dwell within us, but we don't see it the way that the Lord sees it. We don't think about it the way the Lord thinks about it. What is the sin that holds you back? What is the darkness that still keeps you in the blindness, in the fuzziness, in the haze of life? It's not a question that I can answer for you. I wish that I could. I have people all the time come into my office about this, that, and the other thing, and I love those conversations because what I usually get to do is just sit back and go, I can't give you an answer. I don't know what to tell you. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can explain my own experience. I can tell you how I have come to know the Lord and what he has done for me, and I know that he desires it for you as well. But when we get out of our little comfort box and think in the way of the Lord, when we see in the way of the Lord, new things happen. A new heart is put within us. The enemy scurries around in the darkness. He accuses us. He belittles us. He shames us. It's always going to be that voice in the back of your head thinking or saying, don't you remember what it is that you did in your sin? Don't you remember who you hurt? Don't you remember how you hurt yourself? Don't you remember how wicked you were, you terrible, terrible person? Do you honestly think that God is going to love you? Do you honestly believe that he is going to forgive you for that? The enemy is ruthless, and he is a liar. He scurries around in the darkness like a cockroach. The enemy, sin, is like a roach. The minute you throw the light on him, the light of Christ, the light of truth, the light of redemption, he scurries, he scatters, and he loses because his power is lost. That is what the Lord is talking about when he says, I've come into the world to bring light so that those who are blind can see. And then he goes so far to say, those who see, I want them to be blind. Those who think they know, think they can see, think they think the way that I think. Those who think they have it all together, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Father Matthew, Bishop Duca, each and every one of you, we think sometimes that we have it all together. We think sometimes that we have all the answers, and yet we never do. So as we take this break during the middle of the Lenten season, I ask you that question, what about you is blind? Where do you still try to hide in the darkness of sin or imperfection? Maybe just a little bit of laziness, call it for what it is, because I don't want to fast. I don't want to give up meat on Fridays. I don't want to take on a little bit more prayer or fasting or almsgiving. I don't want to do any of this, Lord. Be honest enough to claim it. Be honest enough to own it. And then invite the light of Christ to come in and to illuminate all those different darknesses, all the different corners of your heart where sin and the enemy try to hide. Where do you desire to let the light in? What do you desire to see? Do you desire for the Lord to inform you in the ways of his thought, his sight, his own plan of salvation? Because if you do, it takes a lot of humility and a lot of patience and gentleness with yourself. But it is so worth it, because it brings us to freedom, so that we too can go to that same pool of Siloam, if you will, that we hear about in the gospel. Go wash in that pool, and then you'll see. I can't help but to imagine, this is the gospel of Father Matthew, it's not in scripture. I can't help but imagine this man who was born blind would occasionally go back to that pool of Siloam just to recall what had happened there. That the greatest miracle of his life took place. That he simply had some clay rubbed into his eyes by some stranger he couldn't see, and he would go back and look into those waters and realize that from that water, from that font, came a newness of life that he experienced. So it should be for us. When we listen to the scriptures, we go back to that pool. When we come to the altar and we see the Lord lifted up in a tiny little host or in the chalice. When we see the community gathered here, no matter how many people or lack of people there is. When we come back to the fullness of the church, the fullness of the truth, the fullness of the heart of Jesus Christ. Then we're sent forward just like the man born blind. Siloam literally means sent, which you hear in the gospel. We come to receive, we come to wash, we come to be brought to newness of life, we come to let the light into our hearts, we come to be able to see, we come to be made new, to be refreshed, to be made holy, and from there we are sent. But we can't be sent unless we see, unless we think, unless we hear, unless we draw near to the Lord. And so again, I ask you, what do you desire to see? What does the light need to pervade the darkness of your heart? What extra little zeal do you need to get through these last 3 weeks of Lent? Whatever it is, whatever your answer, whatever it is your heart desires, can be found at this pool, if you will, of the altar. This font of the Eucharist. This place of grace, this place of light, this place of holiness, so that we truly can see with the eyes of faith. So we can go run and tell everyone, just like the man born blind, Jesus, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior, Lord, Master, Rabbi, whatever you choose to call him, Jesus is the one. He has healed me because I was blind, and now I see. Thank you for listening. The ministry here at Christ the King is made possible through our generous donors and golden givers. If you would like to learn more or partner with Christ the King on LSU's campus, please visit www.ctklsu.org.